My dearly beloved in Christ, this morning I would like to look especially at today's epistle of St. Paul to the Colossians that has to do with charity. And it seems that the theme of the epistles during the time after Epiphany is that of charity, that most important virtue. Not only must we practice charity towards our neighbor, love of God and love of neighbor, but in today's epistle, St. Paul tells us how to practice charity towards our neighbor. In particular, he says, put on, as God's chosen ones, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against any other. Even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive. Now this lesson is so important, this lesson of forgiveness. And we know that God forgives us when we are truly sorry for our sins, and so also we must forgive our neighbor. Now there are many times in the scriptures where our Lord speaks about forgiving those who offend us. I will give you just a couple of quotations. This one from St. Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and shall hate thy enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who persecute and calumniate you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, who makes the sun to rise on the good and the evil, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. And our Lord goes on to say, if you only love those who love you, what good is that? Even pagans do that. But to love those who offend you, to practice charity and forgiveness for those who offend us, that's real charity and the spirit of forgiveness. Our Lord, of course, taught us the Lord's Prayer. And in that prayer, we pray to God, forgive us our debts, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And you might say that we are saying in that prayer to God, if I forgive others who offend me, then I know I can trust that you will forgive me. But if I fail to forgive, then I know I'm not deserving of your forgiveness. And we know that we have much need of God's mercy and forgiveness. We might say that one of the strongest themes or points in our holy religion is forgiveness. How often we go to confession, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. We're asking Almighty God through the priest for forgiveness. At every Mass, the priest begins the Mass by bowing low before the altar and reciting the Confiteor, asking for God's mercy and forgiveness. So we know that we stand very much in need of God's forgiveness. Let us also be forgiving of our neighbor. And after our Lord gave the Lord's Prayer, this is what he said. For if you forgive men their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you your offenses. But if you do not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive you your offenses. So forgiveness merits forgiveness. It earns forgiveness for us from Almighty God. Now we find many examples, of course, in the life of Christ and also in the lives of the saints of this kind of forgiveness. For example, our Lord from the cross, his very first word, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. His very first word was one of asking his Father to forgive those who put him to death. Not only does our Lord give us this example, but his saints have followed up on that example. And one of the best examples is Saint Stephen, the first martyr, who was stoned to death. And the Acts of the Apostles, a book of the Bible, tells us that while he was being stoned to death, he fell on his knees and prayed to God, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Now let us reflect on how powerful and how effective that prayer was. It earned the conversion of one of his persecutors, maybe others, but one who became a great saint, Saint Paul. Paul was known as Saul before his conversion, and he approved of the stoning of Stephen. He did not himself take up stones and throw them, but it says that those who stoned Stephen laid their cloaks at his feet, which is a way of saying, I'll take care of your cloaks while you're doing this deed. In other words, I approve of it. And this is what St. Augustine says. Had Stephen not prayed, the church would not have gained this apostle. You can imagine, with all the good that St. Paul did, the greatest of the apostles in his travels, all of the epistles he wrote, all of the souls he converted, we would not have had that had it not been for that prayer of St. Stephen, praying to God, lay not this sin to their charge. And likely, many others of the persecutors were also converted. Again, we find this same mercy, this same forgiveness in the lives of all the saints. It is related of Saint Elizabeth of Hungary that one day she was praying to God to give great graces to all those who had in any way injured her. Imagine this prayer. She's asking God to give graces to those who had offended her, even to give the greatest graces to those who had injured her the most. After this prayer, Jesus Christ said to her, "My dear daughter, never in your life did you make a prayer more pleasing to me than the one which you have just made for your enemies. On account of this prayer, I forgive you not only all your sins, but all the temporal punishment due to them." This was the merit of that prayer, because she prayed for the forgiveness of her enemies. And how pleasing that prayer is to Almighty God. It earns many graces for us. Sometimes we maybe pray and don't obtain what we ask. Well, maybe the reason is we're harboring in our heart a grudge, a resentment. And what does our Lord say? Here's quoting from St. Mark's Gospel. "And when you shall stand to pray, forgive if you have anything against any man." And again, from St. Matthew's Gospel, our Lord said, "If you come to leave your gift at the altar, and there you remember that you have anything against your brother, go first to be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." It is as though our Lord is saying, your prayer is not going to be pleasing to me until you first take that resentment, that grudge, that antipathy out of your heart and forgive. Then you can come and pray and I'll listen to you. Another example from the lives of the saints is a man named St. John Gualbert, who was born in Florence, lived in the 11th century. He died in 1073. And as a young man, he grew up in the turbulent times of Italy at that time, and his brother, his only brother, was murdered. And of course, according to the temper of the times, he wanted revenge. And one day he had his opportunity. He was armed. He was accompanied by several of his friends who were armed, and he unexpectedly came upon the man who murdered his brother. And it was in a corner of a street in such a way that this man could not escape. So what did that poor man do, knowing he was about to be killed? He stretched out his arms in the form of a cross and fell on his knees and said, "For the love of Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive me." Now, it so happened that it was Good Friday when this took place. And John Gualbert was so moved, even though he was seeking revenge, he went up and embraced him and said, "I forgive you." And then he went to the nearest church and asked, prayed for God's forgiveness for harboring this resentment, this revenge in his heart, this hatred. He gave up his life completely, went and entered a monastery. He became a great saint. His feast is July the 12th, St. John Gualbert, and he went on to found a religious order. But all of those graces that came to him began with him forgiving the murderer of his brother, a very difficult thing to do. And I mentioned that after this incident, when he came upon him in the street, he went into the church and he was praying for forgiveness and he was looking at the crucifix. And the head of our Lord on the crucifix moved, and our Lord bowed to him and said, "I forgive you because you forgave your enemy. And I am pleased with your forgiveness." So let us also be forgiving. And St. Paul in this epistle, which really deserves a second or a third reading today from your missal, St. Paul talks about what the Christian life should be like. And he goes on to say, "May the peace of Christ reign in your hearts." And the peace of Christ will reign in our hearts if we are not harboring any hatred, resentment, revenge, a grudge of any kind, but we are forgiving. Now, some may say, "Well, I do forgive others, and I do want to obtain the merit of my prayers, but I don't have any enemies. I can't think of anyone that I need to forgive right now." Well, then you can pray to God. You can say, "If anyone has offended me, I forgive them. And I am ready to forgive if anyone offends me. For the love of thee, I am ready to forgive anyone and everyone." And that disposition makes our prayers so pleasing to God and brings this peace of heart that St. Paul talks about. And he goes on to say, "Show yourselves thankful," another important aspect of our Christian life, thanksgiving, gratitude. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly." And he goes on, "In all wisdom, teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to God." What a beautiful expression, singing in your hearts to God, that we should have this joyful heart, filled with love of God, love of neighbor, and gratitude for all that God has done to us. And we will have such a heart if we are forgiving. If we remember these words of St. Paul, "If anyone has a grievance against any other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive." If we put those words into practice, then we truly shall experience this spiritual joy that is the life of all of those who follow our Lord and follow his teaching and his wonderful example. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.